This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, this day's finally here.
Yes, it is. It is Greg's first episode as an official host of the podcast. Congratulations, my friend. You passed the audition.
Thanks, Ryan. And I guess this is my initiation.
You're referring to the 6 a.m. wake-up call?
Yes, I am, Ryan. But it's worth it, especially knowing who we're speaking to today. And on that note, why don't we just get started and please do the honors. Tell everyone, who is our special guest today?
Our guest today is joining us from Sri Lanka. He's a speaker and trainer, a human resource development specialist who consults in both the private and public sectors. And he is, of course, the 2014 world champion of public speaking, Mr. Dhananjaya Hettiarachchi. Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Ryan, Greg, it's a pleasure to be on board, guys.
Great to have you with us this morning, Dan. Well, it's morning here, but it's evening, and you're a part of the world.
That's right. That's right. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Great. So, Dan, to kick us off here, can you tell us and your listeners a little bit about who you are and how long you've been involved with Toastmasters?
So, I've been involved in Toastmasters for about 11 years. I started somewhere in 2004, 2005. That's when the movement in Sri Lanka was actually starting to spread. And I joined one of the first clubs in Toastmasters here in Sri Lanka called Smedley Toastmasters Club. Toastmasters in Sri Lanka is not something new. We've had Toastmasters here for about 30 years, but for about 30 years, it was just one club. But then somewhere around 2005, 2004, things started to change. And more clubs were starting to be formed, and I joined in at that time period when this movement was spreading. So I've been in Toastmasters for about 11 years, been competing for about 10. Well, most of my life has been taken over by Toastmasters, but professionally, I'm a trainer and a HRD specialist focusing on performance management.
Very good. And I know you're no stranger to competing in speech contests. Can you give us a little bit of your history as a competitor?
Okay. So I first started competing in 2006 when Sri Lanka and India were a territorial council. We were undistricted back in the day. And the highest form of competition we could take part in the Toastmasters world was the World Tape Speech Contest. And I did that in 2006, and I won it. And for the first time, I came to Washington, D.C. for the conference where Dilip Abhisekar was the world president. Mm. And that's when my journey started. And that's the first international championship I saw for my very own eyes. And then it really caught my attention. And for some reason, I think deep down inside, I said, you know, I want to one day be on that stage. So I started in 2006. But up until 2011, I was always getting knocked out at like a district level. See, our district is a part of Sri Lanka and India. So there were competitors from two countries and great speakers all around. So it was only in 2011 that I qualified from my district to go to the convention in Las Vegas for the first time for the semis. And then in 2012, I came to the semis. And 2013, I came to the semis and got placed second. And I lost to the world champion in 2013. The world champion, Vasilev, was in my semifinal. So I lost to him and came in second. And then this year was the fourth year on the semifinal stage. So that's been my journey so far.
In 10 years, you reached the semifinals four times. I think I think by this time, most people would have given up. What did you do and what did you say to yourself to keep yourself going?
Well, as I told in a couple of interviews before as well, I think I said, you know, I wanted to give up. I mean, it was something that was really heavy. It took a lot of investment, both in terms of time and money. And towards the latter part of my Toastmastering career, January, I would make up my mind not to compete. And I said, this year, I'm going to use all the money that I've separated for plane tickets, accommodation, for myself and my family. And every year, I wake up saying, I don't want to take part. But luckily, I've been surrounded by a group of people that saw something that I didn't see. And they always, you know, pushed me to take part. And there are a few people in my life that I don't say no to. And Arunachalam Balraj is one of them. He's been my mentor now, the second vice president at Toastmasters. And we started our Toastmasters journey way back when I joined Smedley Toastmasters in 2004, 2005. So we've both grown tremendously together, and he's someone that I don't say no to. And he gives me a call 1 month, maybe a couple of months before the contest, and suddenly says, you have to take part. And I don't say no to him. So I force myself to push myself through the club contest area contest again. And then suddenly halfway through the division district, you know, the self-motivation starts to kick in. But I purely took part because the people in my life just pushed me to do it.
Wow. I mean, your speech is titled, I See Something in You. And yeah. To me, it's a very powerful and it's a serious message. But right. Yet, at the same time, you had the audiences laughing, especially each time that you recalled your tagline.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is, was that humor intentional?
It was very intentional. See, the first cut of the speech that I did, the I See Something in You speech, I did it 1 year earlier as a TEDx conference speech, which was 20 minutes. Now, in that speech, that was the first version of that speech, and it got a really great, you know, applause, and it was accepted, and it really created a buzz. The speech created a buzz, and I wanted to convert this into a 5-minute speech for the World Championship, but it took me a year to get that 20 minutes into 5 minutes. So I knew the laughter was going to come because I've already tried this speech out a year ago. But the biggest challenge that I had was bringing that 20 minutes into 5 minutes. So I knew exactly that how the audience was going to react.
Well, obviously you were able to do that. But my question related to this is that did you feel that you'd run the risk of the laughter taking away from the seriousness of the message?
Not really. You know, there is two types of humor for me. And the first type of humor is the humor that we just laugh and then forget about it. But there is also a type of humor that also reflects the seriousness of a message. You know, sometimes you are so inspired, the only reaction that you have is just to laugh and smile. and this was a speech that I've come across of that nature. Even when I look at my own recording, I kind of try to figure out how stupendous this line was and how it kind of came to me. That sometimes in life you hear things that are so simple yet inspirational. Your only reaction is to laugh.
Dan, you talked a little bit about how you wrote your speech a year prior and had to work to whittle it down to the time limits. But I wonder if you could peel back the curtain and give us a behind-the-scenes look at some of the preparation that went into this process, both of writing the speech and preparing to deliver it.
Right, right. So how I started was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the year was 2011. 2011 or 2010, one of the 2 years, I met Craig Valentine. Craig Valentine came to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Did a session for us. And he really drove home the message of having a message in your speech. I took it a little further through my research and through my work and through a little bit of coaching of having a message that had two elements, simple but inspirational. And I wanted to find a message that was simple and yet inspirational, and wanted to convert that into, as Craig said, a foundational phrase. So my process of speech making always starts with the message. I don't think about the title. I don't think about my opening. I don't think about my ending. I don't think about even the story. I just start with my message, short and sweet message. And what I do is once I figured out my message, then I decide where I want the audience to exactly recall the message. So something I do is I have like a 3-point reference in my speech. Minimum where I get the audience to run the phrase or run the message at least 3 times. In the speech. And once I have those 3 points identified, then I wrap the speech with stories, anecdotes, layers, and then at the end, work on the opening and the ending simultaneously so that I make sure that there is a connection between the opening and ending, creating a circular approach to the speech as opposed to a linear approach. So that's basically a little bit of what happens behind the curtain.
Cool. Now, obviously, to compete at the levels you've competed at, even prior to this year, of course, you already had to be a very talented, accomplished speaker. But I'm wondering, right, what do you think made the difference this year in Kuala Lumpur? I noticed, for example, you had incredible poise on stage, a strikingly calm demeanor. But maybe it was your message that just resonated more deeply this year. What's your take on that?
Well, I think this was the first day I decided to stop competing. I think I wanted to just be myself. And on the previous years, I think I tried to be somebody different. I think one thing that the international audience needs to understand is, you know, Sri Lanka is a small island. English is our third language here. Just very small population. When you compare it to the entire population actually talks in English. I was trying to figure a model out. How is a guy from South Asia going to win this international contest in the US? And I thought the best method, the best model, was to copy or imitate, you know, previous champions in terms of their delivery and their body language, which for them worked, but it didn't necessarily work for me. So this year, for the first time in the past 4 years of being in the semifinal, I just decided to be myself. And I think that really relaxed me and allowed the best of me to be demonstrated on stage. So I think that's something that I did this year. And I just let that, you know, natural talent and natural hard work just kick in.
It's funny that you say that, because the authenticity, I think, is what came across so strongly when I watched the video of your speech. And I kept thinking to myself, a less accomplished, a less experienced, a less authentic speaker could have really messed up this speech with some very cheesy gestures.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's surprising, because, you know, it's something that we always try to do here in Sri Lanka as well, because we try to make sure that we go overboard with the gestures and make sure that we force the speech onto the audience, and I didn't want to do that. And something that I consciously decided was I wanted to win this on my own terms, being myself. And you know, it's a good decision that I took, and it worked for me.
Well, it obviously worked for you. Dan, this is kind of an unfair question. It's difficult to ask someone to convey an experience that they haven't lived through, or difficult for the audience to appreciate that if they haven't been there.
Sure.
But for those who haven't heard your speech, how would you describe it?
I think I would never be able to reproduce something like that. I always say that the speech a person makes, an authentic speech a person makes, is a product of multiple forces that he's going through right now in his life. For me, where I am in my life right now, you know, who helped me get here, and all of these ingredients just come to create a masterpiece in the form of the speech. So for me, It was a magical 7 minutes. It was a magical 7 minutes. I will never get to enjoy those 7 minutes again in my life. That's how magical it is, because once you win it, you can't compete again. So I would just describe it as the most magical moment in my life. And hopefully if you guys listen to it, it will probably be yours as well.
How has competing in speech contests helped you improve as a speaker?
Well, it's given me a tremendous amount of confidence. I think that has permeated to all parts of my life, not only communicating from stage, but also as an interpersonal communicator. It's made me an absolutely a better communicator all around. So I think if I could pin it down and tell you one thing, it would be the amount of confidence that I've gained. Speaking in different countries, speaking in different regions, speaking to multiple audiences, large numbers of audiences, has really increased my confidence and has made me a better communicator than what I was before.
I thoroughly enjoyed the speech. And what advice would you give someone like me who might be thinking of competing?
I think it would be one of the best things that you would do in terms of communication, in terms of growing your Toastmastering career, for two reasons. Now, number one, it will give you a massive exposure that otherwise you would not get in a club environment. And number two, you get to meet great people along this journey. And I've had this amazing opportunity to interact with Darren LaCroix, Dilip Abhesekera, Craig Valentine, and all of these great people who suddenly, when they know you're competing in this parachuting, and say, all right, I'll help you out, let's work together. And that really gives you knowledge and experience and some techniques that you might otherwise not learn from the manuals that we have in Toastmasters. So competitive speaking will give you maybe 15 to 20% more than what you would get if you don't compete. So it's going to be a great experience if you do decide to compete.
Well, that's great. Thank you for that.
Nice. Dan, I know it hasn't been very long since you won the world championship here in Kuala Lumpur, but how has life changed so far?
I think I feel more responsible now. You know, back in the day before winning the world championship, I could say whatever I want and do whatever I want. now I get it. I have to think twice about what I say, how I say, because even if you speak for 2 minutes, everybody expects magic to just flow out of you. And that's a bit of a pressure, but it's something that I've been getting ready for the past 10 years. So I know how to get ready for it. So one way my life has changed is the expectations went up a notch. But because the expectations went up, I am now also gearing myself up to meet those expectations. So in essence, though I have won the world championship, this is a whole new arena. And I have gone back to the beginning again. And I have to now relearn this new path.
So what does that mean you're going to be doing looking forward into the next year as the world champ?
I want to kickstart my speaking career and create a market for speakers here in Asia. Because unlike in the US and Europe, motivational speaking doesn't have a huge market space in Asia. But there are a lot of countries here in this side of the world that has a tremendous dearth in access to inspiration and motivation. I want to start traveling around in the region, speaking in different forums, kids in universities especially, just helping them have access to that inspiration that can probably give them that little push that is needed to follow their dreams and follow after their visions of success. So my aspirations this year is to travel as much as possible, speak to many audiences as possible, and really generate enough momentum to take me into the next 5 to 10 years as a motivational and inspirational speaker.
So you've only just begun.
Only began. I'm back to square zero. I'm back to square. Well, obviously, I was back to square one, and I've got to relearn. I've got to relearn now. And as I think, you know, the famous management guru, Alvin Toffler said, right, I have to now unlearn and learn again and relearn. It's not about now being a world champion. Now it's being about a professional speaker, a professional coach. It's a new skill set a new skill set, which I have to learn again and master it. And that's the plan.
Sounds good.
We certainly wish you every success as your journey continues here, Dan. We appreciate We appreciate you joining us on the show today. We give you our congratulations on your victory. Your speech was absolutely brilliant. Where can our listeners go to learn more about you and kind of keep in touch with what you're up to?
Sure. Well, the best place to visit is my page on Facebook, which is my name. Now, that's a little complicated. It's Dhananjaya Hettiarachchi. That's Dhananjaya space Hettiarachchi. Everything I do will be uploaded on my page, and it's the best way to get in touch with me and get connected with me.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to following your progress, and thanks again for joining us on the show today, Dan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dan.
Absolute pleasure, guys, and thank you so much for having me. I've had a great time with you guys.
It was our pleasure, and it was certainly worth waking up early for.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All the best, Dan.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.